What reason you hate Trump?
Obvious. I like how all the liberals clap. They're like, we know what that is. Nobody else does. Nobody else knows. Okay, well, okay, let me just get. Number one, he's white. Be honest. If Trump was just black, like if Trump was straight up actually black, like I'm not talking like Justin Trudeau, like black on Halloween. I'm talking.
But the Democrats, the liberals, they'll live right in the crime. And then they'll open a coffee shop and buy the building and evict everybody in the building and gentrify the area. You know? What's over there? Oh. They lasted almost 9 minutes. Do they have a nose ring? Yeah, when they have those, it starts going off or whatever.
And this is racist. We need to leave. These people are having too much fun.
Like the woke chicks, that's all they care about. They're like, you know, Palestine and abortion. They're killing babies over there. It's like, you've killed a few. Yeah. The IDF. And they're always fighting for the, you know, the late-term abortion. I don't know why women are so obsessed with this late. Like, it's pretty lazy. Like, literally fighting for, like the law is just, like, so, you're lazy. You're just a lazy bitch that, you know, was like, ugh, well, maybe next week I'll do it.
I kind of want the Chinese to take over already. I'm ready. I think they'll solve a lot of problems, would they not? Right? They solved the homeless problem. Like, oh, you like camping? Oh, we built you a nice camper. It's near Fort Memorial. Yeah, use the shower. Also, no more gay people. Okay, so.
That's the funny thing is if China, all the like right-wing people be like, I don't want China to take over. They come in and be like, no more gays, no more homeless. You got smoke inside the new prime minister.
Now for a moment of silence for Renee Good. Really hope that dog's okay. And her pet. That's what you don't want when you're dealing with the police, your lesbian wife. Just drive, baby, drive.
Are you tired of stubborn fat that just won't budge no matter how hard you diet? Well, let me introduce you to Ultimate Burn, the most powerful science-backed fat-torching formula available today. Inside every capsule of Ultimate Burn is 200 milligrams of GlucoVantage dihydroberberine, a supercharged form of berberine that clinical studies show slashes insulin resistance, blocks new fat storage, and helps your body burn fat for fuel. Then we crank the heat with a massive 120 milligrams of Calorie Burn GP Grains of Paradise, packing a full 15 milligrams of active 6-paradol. Human trials prove it fires up your brown fat, ramping your daily calorie burn by up to 200 extra calories a day. Then we finish it with cinnamon polyphenols and bioparin to make sure every milligram hits your system hard. The result is faster fat loss, smaller waist, better blood sugar, and energy that lasts all day. Ignite your results with the real deal. Grab Ultimate Burn now and watch your body finally start burning fat like it's supposed to. Stock is limited. Get yours before it's gone. It's Ultimate Burn. Light the fire at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Game.
engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified, best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high quality Shilajit. You get either or, you choose, absolutely free with our creatine. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Back the layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room War with Room. Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined today by Ben Bankus. You can follow his tour dates at benbankus.com. He's a comedian from Toronto living in Austin, Texas. You can check out his comedy specials called Gaytatorship and Please Wear a Mask on YouTube at Ben Bankus Comedy, I think, on YouTube, right? And or just search Ben Bankus, Instagram, Ben Bankus 2, on Facebook at Ben Bankus Comedy, and on X at Ben Bankus. It's easy when it's all just his name, pretty much. Welcome to the show, Ben.
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Obviously, you're a comedian. We just saw a little compilation of some of your stuff. Very funny. I was looking around at headlines, thinking, what could be fodder for comedy? There's not a lot. Everything is horrible. How do you take this horrible nonsense we deal with on a daily basis and try to transmute it into something that can make people laugh?
The worse, the better. The worse things are, the more people need a laugh. And, you know, if you've ever been to... You know, the worst moments, you know, a funeral or something like that. There's somebody's got to laugh. There's got to be a moment of brevity. And, you know, I think my comedy's cathartic for people who come out and, you know, want to laugh. And, you know, yeah, there's always going to be people who are horrified and upset. And, you know, those people have a tough time going through life. Let's be honest. If you can't laugh at a joke, you saw the United States hockey team, you know, the blowback or whatever from, they laughed at Trump's joke. How could, and that's the big question from the media. Why would you do that? That's not a question that a rational person asks somebody. Why would you laugh at that? How could, you know, I get it. Maybe your wife, how could you laugh at that? Yeah. But laughing is not necessarily something you can control. And, you know, if you're laughing, it was funny. That's really the bottom line.
Yeah, well, you're just happy. I can imagine winning the gold. You're just going to be giggling at everything as soon as you have a major victory on the world stage that will last for all of history. So, like, they're laughing because they're giggly. Half the time, I can't figure out whether I'm laughing because, you know, I'm being sarcastic and, you know, I'm sort of laughing at myself, or if I'm just like, it's just a coping mechanism for not going insane. Because, I mean, this stuff that we deal with on a daily basis. So, you know, one of the things you talked about in the set we just watched, or, you know, one of the sets we just watched, was like late term abortion. And it's just like, how did this ever become a thing? Who made the argument to get here? Like, what is this? And is it funny, or am I just laughing because it's too horrible to actually like deal with? Which I guess that's a good thing about comedy, is it can help you deal with stuff like that. Is there any risk that you're like downplaying some of that stuff just by laughing at it? Should we be more serious in the face of all of this?
No. I think almost everything should be downplayed if you're able, unless you want to go through life angry and upset at every small thing or big thing. You know, and I don't think that, you know, the people who don't want to laugh at things and don't want, you know, want to make an excuse. Oh, I only laughed because I was nervous or because I felt uncomfortable, or, you know, these are all excuses fake excuses you give when the truth is, I thought it was funny, but I can't tell you that because you can't handle that. And my comedy isn't for people who can't handle the truth. And, you know, the truth is funny. You know, you can laugh at something that you genuinely, you know, think might be a bad thing or something that you genuinely don't agree with, but you laugh at it because it's funny. And we, you know, America is a country that, you know, free speech is a huge part of America. And we, you know, you can't lose it. I mean, look at Canada. They're actually hammering those hockey players even harder than anybody in the U.S. media about how dare you laugh at that. And, you know, they don't want to come out and say it, but in reality, the media views Trump as a fascist, at least in Canada, for sure. I know the left-wing media in America also, but they are kind of now pulling back a bit because they're getting people killed by saying that. They think that Trump's a fascist in Canada, but they also don't want to come out and say it. But it's, you know, they're not living in the same reality, so they won't understand the same jokes.
Yeah, and that's definitely a big part of it. And I do think there is something like, if you can laugh at something, even laughing at yourself, there's just something about it that it just means that you're like, you're just an open person and you're not rigid. You're not stuck in your ways. Like, I can believe something and also kind of, you know, laugh at the implications of it. And it seems like this is, we have a lot of dividing lines. You know, obviously you got Republican, Democrat, you got whatever else. I think one of the major dividing lines is like, who has a sense of humor and who doesn't? Who can laugh at themselves and who can't? And like, this comes about a lot with the hockey team, but also with the Olympics. There's this discussion now online, very important discussion, which it actually kind of is because it metaphysically gets to this divide I'm talking about between Alyssa Liu and Eileen Gu, I think her name is. And it's like there are all these women being like, but Eileen Gu is so beautiful. She looks like a model. She's so much prettier than Alyssa Liu. But all of the men love Alyssa Liu because she seems bubbly and happy. And it's just like something comes across. And so, you know, all the right wingers love this Alyssa Liu figure skater. And all the left is like, no, you're supposed to hate her. She's a progressive. But we just like that she's bubbly and seems happy and joyful. And Eileen Gu seems kind of like a frigid woman. So I think, you know, there's a weird divide going on here that's highlighted again in another Olympic situation. I guess this is a long-winded way of asking you, Eileen Gu or Alyssa Liu? I mean, which one are you going with? Which team are you on?
Which one's less Chinese?
That's a good question. I don't know. They're both Hapas. They're both.
Is one on Team China though?
One is politically more Chinese, but they're both test tube babies that are half white, half Chinese.
But one of them's on. Are they both Team America or one of them's Team America? And one's Team China.
Gu is Team China.
See, I mean. Why is she on Team China? I mean, you know, she is obviously very intelligent. I mean, maybe too intelligent sometimes. They asked her a question. How come you answer questions so quickly? And I didn't really like that question, but then she answered it. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe there is too happy. I get it. She's 22, whatever. She's half American, half Chinese, but she chose to, be on the team that has people in concentration camps. So, and that's Team China, by the way, unless you're a Democrat, then I guess that's Team America, but,
or Team Australia.
They think the ICE facilities are concentration camps, or Australian COVID facilities were probably closer to that than an ICE facility. But look, if you take away people's ability, if you take away people's senses of humor, they're much easier to control. If people aren't able to joke freely and understand the nuances of life and of moments, that how could you laugh in this moment? It's like, you know how I could laugh in this moment. You're not asking an honest question of how could you. You're asking, the real question is, why aren't you liberal? That's the question that they want to ask. Why aren't you a far leftist? If you were a far leftist, you wouldn't have laughed. You would have left the room. You wouldn't have accepted. Yeah, but not everybody is that. And what happened to the whole coexist thing? It's not about coexisting. It's about one side needs to be right and the other side needs to be wrong. And laughing at things, like if you remember when you're a kid and you're in the class and the teacher says something, and you're like, and then who's laughing at that? Where are those teachers now? Still teaching, being losers. So, like, you know, it's a sign. You said it's a sign of being open. It's a sign of intelligence. Yeah. If you can't laugh at something, if you're not a person in a room, you know, when you're in a room, doesn't matter what it is, say you're at the DMV, something happens, somebody makes a comment, there's somebody, you make eye contact with another intelligent person and you go, and you roll your eyes and they, both of you know exactly what's going on. That's a sign of intelligence. But if you look at somebody and you roll your eyes and they look at you like, what, that's not very funny, that person's an idiot. I'm sorry, but that's just, this is common sense and people need to be reminded of this. And it's sad to see the leftist reaction to everything the way it is, because deep down, I think that they know they're wrong. And that's why they're so upset, because if they knew they were right, they wouldn't be that mad.
Hmm. You think that's true? I can't figure it out. I'm genuinely asking, because I'm constantly wondering, like, do they think this is true? Do they all know they're lying? Like, yesterday, there was a video of Ilhan Omar being asked, why did you say that white men are dangerous and we should be scared of white men? And she's like, I didn't say that. Everybody knows she says that. The video's gone viral 10 million times. So it's like, okay, what is happening here? Do her constituents just not care about the truth? Do they think it's clever that she's lying? Like, what is wrong with the left? Genuinely, what is wrong with them? And, you know, why? I don't know. I can't get it, man. Like, why don't they like humor? Why don't they care when their, you know, politicians lie? And do they know they're lying and they think it's all clever? Like, what is it?
Well, I mean, there's a couple things. You know, it's easy to control people with the lie that they're doing. So they've convinced so many people to believe the lie that it doesn't make sense for them to backtrack. The lie and all of these, you know, hypersensitivities to every little thing and colonialism. And I saw a statue and it made me, I had generational trauma about marginalized communities. And there's a, you know, all these new words. If you're using one of these words that they invented in the last 5-7 years, marginalized and normalize, and we need, you know, all these, you shouldn't be taken seriously, because these are not normal ways of communicating. They're ways of that we just invented, and people say, well, that's progressivism. We had to come up with the solution. There was no problem to begin with. And the reason all of these words exist is because universities, if you go to a university, you want to write an article, or sorry, you want to write an essay, they ran out of things to write essays about like 10 years ago or 15 years ago. And I remember when I was being prepped for university and I had this gay high school teacher that he was like, if you're ever worried about what to write about, just talk about marginalized. Just talk about, you know, and it's that easy, because you just go, here's the story. Okay, there's this community. They're marginalized. Here's proof. Boom. There's my essay. A+. And so those people kept doing that. But then instead of just getting the degree and going into the real world and becoming successful at something, a lot of those people either didn't do anything with the degree and are upset, or they continued their education, became masters or PhD students, and then they just stayed in the university system and then started teaching those things as if they were like serious, and then they started affecting policy. And it's an unfortunate thing, and I don't really know how we're going to backtrack, because so much of the population, especially the young female population, has been trained from a young age by these universities and other public schools that, you know, your emotions are valid. even if it's not, you know, okay, the truth, who cares about the truth? How do you feel? And that is why we're in this situation. You have a bunch of brainwashed people that genuinely need help, but aren't willing to get it. And at the same time, the people who represent them, the politicians, are encouraging the behavior. They're encouraging it. You saw it after Charlie Kirk. They encouraged, you know, Ilhan Omar went on TV after Charlie Kirk was murdered and said, you know, oh, yes, it is bad that he was killed, but he was racist. It's like, who says something like that after that type of incident? Only somebody who thinks that what happened should happen to people who feel that way. And the people who are, look at the trans shooters. Oh, you know, in Canada, the trans shooter and in that state or province in Canada, BC, they have these tribunals around free speech that some professor or high school principal he's fined $750,000. Luckily, it's Canadian, so it's less. But he was fined all this money because he only believed in two genders. But then there's people who they're more concerned about the trans person who shot the people. There's, you know, that make sure that we gender them properly on the news, even though they're number one.
The gun person, not the gunman.
The gun person, but they're number one. They're dead, so I don't know whose feelings we're protecting here. Otherwise, basically, what the media is saying, we need to gender this person properly, as to not upset more trans people, and then they will do more damage. And that's, I'm sorry, but that's not a way to make the population at large feel safe. So it's just we're just living in this weird thing where the mainstream media is not representing the average person, and they are feeding into the delusions of the mentally ill, and the reason behind it is simple. It's easier to control mentally ill people than it is to control not mentally ill people.
Yeah, it can be as simple as that. And that's one of those things that it's like, you know, you hear that the cops are worried about misgendering the mass murderer, and you're like, that's just intrinsically funny. That's like a joke right there. But also, there's part of my brain that is like, what the hell is going on? Like, this isn't funny at all. What is happening to us? So that's why I'm just like, I'm laughing, but I'm also like, well, what do we do? Who do I need to punish for this? Like, I don't know, man. I'm just going insane. Like, you have headlines like this. Leonardo scrubs social media evidence as millions demand cannibal arrest for child meat horror. And it's like, is this even real? I don't even know if this is real anymore. Are they trying to arrest Leonardo DiCaprio for eating people? Maybe. I don't know. Is it a real story? I can't even tell anymore. Half the time, I'm just like, I assume that's true. I assume Leonardo DiCaprio's eating babies. Why not? Why wouldn't I assume that with everything going on? But I have no freaking idea. So everything is just insane. I guess if you can't laugh at it, you're going to just go insane. But that's it's like, when they hear that, when they hear the police, like the liberals, when they hear the police are worried about, are correcting themselves, saying, sorry, gun person, not gunmen, nothing intersects with that in their brain that goes, wait, this is a little bit absurd. I have the wrong priorities. They're just on this path of retardation. Can a comedy help them bring it back? Is that the missing ingredient that we just need to show them so they can laugh and go, you know, I was being a little silly there. Instead of attacking them, we need to, it's that spoonful of sugar. Help the medicine go down.
I think it should help if they were willing to watch it and with an open mind. And you know, I'm sure some people who comment negatively on my videos have laughed, and that pissed them off because I made them laugh at something that they held so dearly to themselves.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's what we need. We need to give liberals the Ludovico treatment, Clockwork Orange style, eyes pinned open, Ben Benkis specials on the big screen. Couple days of that, I think we could do wonders.
Yeah, I wanted to say something else that, you know, why doesn't something go off in their brain when they see that this is becoming so extreme and so crazy? And the reason is because we have such a us versus them mentality on both sides, but I mean, for sure, on the Democrat side, where they're like, you know, I will 100% never agree with anything that a Republican does. Whereas a Republican, sometimes a Democrat, we do agree. I mean, certain things. I mean, you know, I don't know, legalization of drugs. I mean, you know, some drugs, weed and stuff like that. You know, I don't necessarily think that there's no, you know, there's not a lot of pushback on that. Even like abortion, like, you know, my thing is personally, like, do I think it should be illegal? I don't know. But I think that at least you should have some shame if you're doing it. You know, whether it should be illegal or not, I don't know. But, you know, so the point is that they see this thing happening. They're gendering the killer properly and making that their you know, their main goal, it seems like, in that press conference, over and above making families feel safe or whatever. And why don't the Democrats speak up about it or liberals speak up about it? Because they see this, they go, this is really bad for society, but I'm winning.
Mm.
And that's what they think. So they go, even though I think this is bad, I'm on side with it because it means our side is winning. And that's what it is. It's a tribalism thing where it's us versus them.
Yeah, that definitely is a large part of it. There's also this like massive mental construct that they all seem to operate in. I don't know if we'll go to the video, but I've got a video. It's a little bit longer. But, you know, it's a leftist basically talking about how they don't believe crime exists and, like, I don't know if murderers should be sent to prison. And the interviewer asked her a really simple question. He's like, so you don't think murderers should be sent to prison? And she's like, I don't have time to give you a lecture on criminal justice. And it's like, that's such a liberal response, right? Where it's like, this is a simple question. It demands a simple answer, but they can't answer anything simply. If you say, are men men or women women? It's, well, you don't know the construct that I'm operating in. Let me give you an hour long. Why does all of their beliefs require like a lecture course to even understand? That's a big problem as well.
They're not trying to be part of society in a functional way. And it's really becoming like anarchy where, and they're pretty open about that. Like in some ways, you know, we don't want police. We don't want government, you know, to function. We don't want, unless the only reason they want government is to give money to them and illegal immigrants and, you know, criminals should be let out after, you know, let out of prison early or never go to prison, even if they killed somebody because they had a bad life. You know, the people with these opinions generally are not wealthy people. They're not rich people. They're not people who are successful. And what they don't realize is that the best form of protest is actually becoming a successful, prominent individual. And, you know, are there successful people on the left who are pushing this agenda, like Soros and other billionaires and multimillionaires? Yes. Do they fully believe it? I don't know. I think that they also just it's part of this human tribal thing where it's haters. It's people who hate,
you know, that,
and then act.
That makes sense when it's an outsider trying to destroy another population. I can rationalize that. The crazy part comes when that population goes, yeah, destroy us. It's like, that's where it gets like, wait, what the hell's actually going on? More with Ben Bankus on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
We'll be right back. got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells you what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Absolutely. Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that.
Let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest though, you got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's.
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Hey, this is Doc Chambers here. I'm out in the field right now. Day off from the campaign trail doing some work. I got things to catch up on, so it's called a refit day. But I'm getting refit with Alex Jones's methylene blue. It's pretty good. I got to say, I've been using it on the road since we left the studios. And I've been taking it for a while. I had a traumatic brain injury in Iraq in 2004. There's been a lot of studies out there that show that with post-dementia patients and TBI patients, it's just been used for years. It's just not very well known with regard to demyelination, what it can do to improve your cognition. So that's your brain. Your brain housing these stuff. Hey, thanks, Alex. Appreciate you. We're going to stay on it.
This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am. And the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm joined by comedian Ben Bankus. You can find tour dates for Ben on his website, benbankus.com. You can also follow him on X at Ben Bankus and Instagram at Ben Bankus 2. That's Bankas. That's how you spell that last name. Talking about comedy and the silliness of the world that we live in. And I think this may be one of the best examples, a very recent one, to what we're talking about, how just like things are just intrinsically funny if you look for them. This is like the best example I could find recently. And it's the fact that this meme has been going around for like 20 years. And it's a map of Iran. It says, of course, Iran wants war. Look how close they put their country to our military bases. Right. And we have military bases all around Iran. Of course, they want war. Look how dangerously close they are to our military bases. That's the joke. Here's the reality. It's Marco Rubio literally saying exactly this. Let's watch.
The other thing I would point you to, however, is that Iran possesses a very large number of ballistic missiles, particularly short-range ballistic missiles that threaten the United States and our bases in the region and our partners in the region and all of our bases in the UAE and Qatar and in Bahrain. And they also possess naval assets that threaten shipping and try to threaten the U.S. Navy. So I want everyone to understand that beyond just the nuclear program, they possess these conventional weapons that are solely designed to attack America and attack Americans.
So what do we do here, Ben? What do we do here when the memes are manifesting themselves in reality, where long-standing jokes are now actually the pitch that they're giving us as to why we need to go to war with Iran. This is the type of thing that, I'm telling you, drives me insane. How is this real?
I mean, you know, I'm pro-America. I think that, you know, in some ways I agree with the joke in a sense that, you know, countries know what America's doing and what and generally why is America ever really attacking another country is because they're not cooperating. And, you know, and you can make the point, well, they have their own country. Well, they have an Islamic regime that, you know, I mean, something that would make Mamdani proud going on over there. And I mean, one of my best friends is Persian and has family there. And Iranian people are very smart people. Toronto, Canada, where I'm originally from, I think some of the biggest pro-free Iran, meaning pro-America going in and freeing the country from the Islamic regime protests. I think they had over 500,000 people in the streets. So, you know, what are these countries gaining from, you know, being an adversary of America versus working with America, working with the entire world for a better for a better future? You know, eventually we want to go to space, and I mean we're in space, but humans going to Mars and the moon and other solar systems and you know it kind of who's going to come with us? That's the question, because who's going to go? Probably. And I have a joke about this. So I don't want to give away too much, but probably white people, probably Jews, probably some Asians. You know, I don't know how many other people are going to be brought to Mars based on how much they seem to just be entrenched in these ultra religious views that are really, you know, and look, religion's important, but if you're taking away people's rights, I mean, Iran is not a free country. And, you know, it seems like they don't really want to be, and they don't want to cooperate with the U.S. And, you know, I think some of the tactics that are being used are to make, you know, threatening war or you know, I remember in Trump's first presidency, you know, with North Korea, there was a big conversation with North Korea. Oh, he's going to start World War III because he's sending ships towards North Korea. But no, it didn't cause World War III. It actually made the war not happen. So sometimes, yeah, you do have to have a show of strength. And, you know, there's military strategy behind that. And some of the greatest minds in the military minds and minds in general in the world are working towards, at the end of the day, peace. And I think that's the main goal. I mean, to me, that seems like the main goal that Trump has had throughout both of his presidencies is to bring peace. And sometimes you have to do that through strength and scaring the shit out of people. And I mean, that's true on every level. It's true. Why do you have the legal right to carry a firearm in America? What is it, to cause harm, or is it to cause peace?
Yeah, absolutely. I just wish they would give us some explanation for that, because Iran is too close to our army bases is not the best reasoning for me. Like, they used to actually like knock down our buildings if they wanted to get us into war. They used to have to come up with supposed intelligence reports about weapons of mass destruction. Now it's just like, look, they're there and they don't like us, so we're going in, all right? And it's like, this is not how this is supposed to work, even a
but
little
they
bit.
They don't invade, you know. If they do go to war with Iran, it's not going to be like Iraq. They're not going to go with Putin. They're not going to. I think we've learned from mistakes that were made, and those were different times. And, you know, I don't, you know, necessarily agree with everything that was happening then, but look, why are there less planes being flown into buildings or less terrorist attacks. We killed a lot of the people who wanted to do that. And
I think it's because the bad guys won't get away with it. I think they haven't false flagged us yet because we got their number. And I think they're scared that if they try to like blow up an aircraft carrier, nobody's going to buy that it was Iran. And it's just going to blow back on the powers that be. That's why I think we haven't been false flagged yet.
I'm less conspiratorial than probably you are. I not to say that you're wrong, but I just look at it from the lens of, not everything is a false flag, I don't think. And I think that how many people did we kill with ISIS in Iraq and in Syria and in, all these wars that have happened over the 20 years, and how many of those people that we killed were radicalized extremists who wanted to get into Europe or America and just didn't because they were killed. So maybe that's a pro-war stance, but maybe I'm a little pro-war, for the reason of peace, not for the reason of just chaos. No, I don't think that that's a good idea. And look, has anything happened really yet with Iran? We blew up some stuff. They fired some rockets back. I mean, were those false flags, the rockets that fell in Israel and in other that were targeted other U.S. bases? No,
kind of.
Those are real rockets. Those are real rockets. So
they're real rockets, but they told America and Israel where they'd land so we could clear out the troops there. So that was kind of a false flag, actually, a little bit. That came out with the Seymour Hersh article. I think most of the things happening kind of have the shade of a false flag these days. But of course,
in a way, I don't know if it's false flag, but it's the way that warfare is going is like, okay, the regime, the Ayatollah wants to be able to fire a rocket without getting a huge retaliation. So the way they do it is, hey, we're going to fire a rocket right here. And then they do it. And then their, I was going to call their citizens, their fan base, but their citizens don't have the access to that information necessarily en masse. So they just see it as our country is pushing back when really it's like a coordinated thing that's kind of letting the Americans know what they're going to do so that they don't get extremely blown up.
Yeah, that's what's so weird about the whole thing is they're like, we have to respond to save face, right? We have to respond in kind or else we look weak. But then it's like, it's just publicly acknowledged. It's like, this is all kind of pretend. We're just sort of pretending, but we are responding to save face. I'm sure it's, portrayed differently to the Iranian public, but it just seems like so much of what happens, especially in the Middle East, is like this weird kind of game of show where it's like, okay, you bombed us, now we're going to bomb you, but don't worry, it's all for show. It's like they announce it, but they still have to do it to like fulfill some sort of, honor requirement or whatever. It's just also bonkers to me.
World War II was the same. In World War II, they knew, okay, they're coming tonight, turn all the lights off, put the blackout curtains up, and get in the bomb shelters, So it's still humans who are fighting each other. So there is still that minuscule amount of humanity in it where, it's like, hey, we're going to kill you, but just so you know.
Okay, but what happens when the robots take over? What happens when it's not a bunch of humans involved and it's literally just Benjamin Netanyahu and Ayatollah Khomeini with their Xbox controllers and 10,000 Elon Musk bots attacking each other? Things are about to get very weird the world over. How do you think,
it could make more peace. It could be Terminator, or it can be, our robots kill your robots. I don't think that Iran is going to have the best robots out there. So
you're going on the record as in favor of the AI taker. You welcome the robot overlords coming in.
In some ways, I think, look, they haven't come yet, so I don't truly know. But am I going to buy a Optimus robot when it is available? Yes.
to kill your enemies.
Just to make me a drink. But you know, and full self-driving, I don't know if you have or have tried full self-driving. It's pretty cool. It's pretty safe. And, you know, I understand that the concept of, you know, pushing back on it. And I know, you know, the term Luddite, right? Like people who that was coined, I think, at the beginning of the 19th or when it Industrial Revolution, one of the Industrial Revolutions where, you know, they were against the manufacturing.
That was back when it was just like automated looms. That was a bridge too far.
It was taking away jobs from artisans because now what he could make and charge more for, somebody could make quicker, more of them and charge less. And people were against that. So, look, if robots are coming, then we better I'd much rather have an Elon in charge of them than a Bill Gates or you know, whoever, Soros or some other person. But I do think that it is necessary at a certain point that we're going to have to, you know, realize that car accidents are going to go down. And for one thing, with the self-driving cars. So what other things will improve? I mean, yeah, maybe in 200 years, maybe the robots will kill us all. But, you know, I mean, maybe the leftists will finally be happy about that. That'll solve a lot of their problems, right? There's no more colonization. The robots are in charge. So I don't know.
I think you're going the other way. I think we're going to have to deal with robot rights. I think we're going to have robot civil rights. And we're going to have to fire the whole thing up again. We're going to have a new class of people who are oppressed in all new ways that we have to deal with. I think robots are kind of like, it's almost like we wish robots were the biggest issue we had right now. Like, we like to think of ourselves as this sort of futuristic society that's like, oh no, robots are going to destroy us all. Like, it's kind of more likely that just we forget how to like operate the clean water systems and we all just die of dysentery, you know? Like, that's sort of like a goal we should be going for. Being killed by robots means we solved all the other problems first. Maybe AI is not the biggest threat to us right now. What would you say is the biggest threat to the world at this moment?
Biggest threat? A lot of people are saying that it's woke white women are the biggest threat, which is they're the biggest threat to common sense. And you know, I think it's a ripple effect of pushing these ridiculous narratives that are actually putting us in danger. For instance, letting people out of prison when they are murderous. These are the more threatening things on a daily basis that you're going to have to worry about. You know, criminals on the streets and
You mean restorative justice? You mean the great strides we've made in civil rights to guarantee an equal opportunity for people like this? It's funny you mentioned this exactly. Child predator dubbed, quote, monster parents fear most, cleared for release through California parole program. A California child molester, once described by a judge as, quote, the monster parents fear the most, has been cleared for release under the state's elderly parole program, a decision local law enforcement says puts communities at risk, and prosecutors are now scrambling to stop it. The sheriff actually put out like a 20-minute video being like warning parents, being like, this guy is now on the loose. Other states would have killed him. We let him go for some reason. Sentenced to 3 life terms, but now he's just been released. So sorry to cut you off, but I think you're dead on the money here in terms of like the biggest threat. Is the biggest threat child, you know, molesters and murderers, or is it the politicians who let them out on the street? Right? I mean, they sort of it's a symbiosis that they operate in.
It's a ripple effect. It starts with and getting into politics and pushing it to the extreme. And the people who are in politics pushing these bad policies are protected by, you know, security guards at their house and
blackmail pedophile stuff?
Well, that, you know, I mean, Epstein stuff, which, you know, I only got a few pages in, but the reality is, you know, the biggest threat to us is us and us not being on the same page about where we're trying to go. And that's why I brought up earlier going to space. And like my mom used to always say, you know, after 9/11 and stuff, and they, you know, when we went into Afghanistan, and Canada was in Afghanistan as well. And in, it wasn't in Iraq, but America was in Iraq at the same time. And, you know, my mom was, she was a liberal generally, but she would say, you know, so how many satellites are they launching? You know, because they're out there believing in some primitive way of life while the rest of the world is trying to modernize. And, you know, it's a clash of civilizations right now that we have, where the, you know, the, you showed that picture with the troops at the border. Because that's the civilizations that we've taken over. All, every part of the world is taken. There's nowhere else to go. So now all the civilizations are clashing, and you know, I don't think we're gonna have a world war. I don't think we're going to destroy ourselves that way. I think it's, you know, it's more about people not being on the same page. Look at China and the advancements that they made. And I think, you know, some of them are due to them being on the same page, whether they're forced to be or not. I don't think that's right. I think freedom of speech is more important than, but, you know, people have just been convinced of such bad ideas, and countries like China are going to, you know, continue to advance, and they're trying to beat America, and in some ways they are winning. So
they're winning, yeah, in the choreographed dances. They're definitely have a lock on that. Their kindergartners kick our kindergartners' ass when it comes to dribbling a ball with both hands. They're killing it in a lot of ways. They still eat live mice, so I don't know. They're a weird one. They're a tricky one, I feel. You know, I really worry about, obviously, like, the next generation, and Gen Z seems alternatively just, like, completely irrecoverably insane and just, like, based and way more, like, realistic than everybody else. But clearly, like, something has gone wrong with the youth, and I wonder if there's not some sort of weird correlation between, like, the death of comedy that we were talking about, how sort of people don't want to laugh at stuff anymore, so you can't laugh at that, and the corresponding lack of sincerity, where like no young people actually have sincere belief, like they just want to laugh and mock sincere beliefs about God or life. It's all a joke to them, but the actual jokes aren't there. Is there a correlation, do you think, between right. The death of comedy and the death of sincerity?
Comedy was born out of tragedy. The first stand-up comedians in America, I mean, we're talking Mort Saul and Lenny Bruce. That was pretty much right after World War II. You know, what, 10, 20 years after, or not even. So people had just gone through the worst thing that they've ever been through. Millions dead, nuclear weapons used, concentration camps, death camps, you know, mass migration. But comedy, people wanted to see Lenny Bruce. His shows were sold out all the time. And there were people who hated him and people who didn't think he should be saying that and blah, 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 and on and on. And, you know, but the reality is he was in those rooms making people laugh in a dark time or right after a dark time. So, you know, this idea that you shouldn't laugh at something horrible, it's like, well, then we wouldn't have comedy at all.
Right.
Because that's how it started. And yeah, is there clean comedy? Is there family-friendly comedy? Yes. And those things are great and should exist as well. And if there's the appetite and people want to pay money for that, then that's you know, that's their right and that's the freedom. But, you know, to say that only this type of comedy should be allowed, where did that come from? That's a Soviet thing. I mean, my dad was raised in the Soviet Union and, you know, he talks about it all the time. They had comedians, you know, who would make jokes that were carefully curated to make the party look good. And do we have that now? Yes. Colbert.
I was going to say, yeah.
You know, all those late night shows, Daily Show, which, by the way, when I was a kid, I loved Daily Show, even though I wasn't even really political. I just thought it was funny.
It was.
And, you know, but now it's become this almost Soviet era type of comedy where it's only meant to make you agree with the party. And the party is the Democrat Party. I mean, Gutfeld is one example of a right-leaning late-night comedy show, but generally there's no exact show like a Jimmy Kimmel or whatnot where the person doing the monologue is making fun of the Democrats, you know? And so because mainstream media is still seen as the truth by a lot of people, it's creating a divide, and it makes people think, oh, you know, so you can be the most successful comedian in the world, but you will never be on late night TV because they don't agree with your comedy is not the type of free country energy I'm looking for. If anything, they should be having more comedians on those shows that they disagree with. Bring me on and make me look like an idiot then. But they don't, because they know that they won't make me look like an idiot and they'll look stupid.
And that really is it. I mean, it's really hard to be funny without the truth. And it's, you know, if you can't convince people of something, the next best step is censorship and ridicule. But it's, you know, you can be the best comedian and never get on a late night show, or you can be the best late night show and not actually be funny, because something has gone horribly wrong in our popular culture in America.
Well, because we have free speech, but the left has taken up arms essentially, not en masse, well, hopefully, but I mean, you know, with like the murder of Charlie Kirk or the attempted assassination of Trump, President Trump, these, you know, they're basically saying, okay, you can make your jokes, or you can make your opinions, or you can have your views, but somebody might kill you.
But we'll kill you. And that's exactly right. That's terrifying.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy, he's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule that should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.